Hello.
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Amelie. I am based in Vancouver. I used to live in Montreal before. I'm an artist manager, sort of specialized in experimental and improvised music. I used to work for Sony, actually. That's it.
Yes, you did.
I did.
And now your new artist management company is co-presenting a show with us this year.
Yeah, I founded a couple years ago a management company called Act Art Management, I'm going to be co-presenting a show on June 17th, and it's going to be Kiaville's release show. So that's pretty exciting. Kiaville released her first album with Constellation on March 11th. We're pretty excited to have this show during the festival.
Excellent. Yeah, and tell us a little bit about Kiaville. I mean, I think some of the listeners might already know, but for those that don't, give us a little taste or whatever.
Oh, a taste. You have to listen to have a taste of Kiaville. It's pretty hard to describe with words. So Kiaville is a Montreal artist, originally from the improv scene here in Montreal, and it's her experimental singer-songwriter project. So she's playing, how could I describe it? I really don't know how to describe the music, but it's amazing and it's nothing you've ever heard before. So I would highly recommend just listening to it. And she just released his first album, and it's received a lot of praise actually everywhere. So we are at a pretty exciting moment for her, where she's just about to go, at the moment that I'm recording this, she's about to go on her first European tour since the album release, and then she will play days in Canada and then back again to Europe in the summer and in the fall.
And she I feel like she's going to have a guest artist with her at the show.
Miriam Blow will be with her doing live visuals. And Miriam has also collaborated with Kiaville for all the visuals, most of the video for the album. So if you go on YouTube, you can see already what they've done together. And this show will be, those visuals and more and new. So, and it's the first and so far only show that they're playing really together live. So it will be special.
Cool. And you record a lot of musicians. You manage a lot of musicians that are based in Montreal. For people who might not know, like, what does artist management involve?
Here I work with there in Montreal. I work with Jersey Mahart and Jessica Moss also. And a few others that I collaborate with for special projects. Artist management, I've really learned, and I'm still learning every day as I'm doing it, because I come from the live music, actually. But it's about, I would say that a lot is about funding, actually. That's at the core of it, just making sure the artist can create and present its music. So, of course, one of the first things that the artist need is money to do that. So it's about grant writing and just strategic planning, but also scheduling and relationship with labels, a bit of promotion. And I would say that it's just, there's a lot of tasks related to being an artist that are very admin based. And I always found a bit crazy that you ask a musician to know also how to write a grant and how to just follow up with all the little things that are involved with being an artist. So I think everybody should have a manager, actually. So I just try to help with the non-artistic side of being an artist. That's basically what I do.
Fantastic.
And I should say that in the experimental music scene, there are not many managers or administrators. Mm-hmm. So it's also because the profits are not as big. So the big companies mm-hmm. are often just not very interested. So, yeah. There's a real
need. Yeah, no, that That's definitely it's sort of interesting or funny because I my previous interview that I just did was with Joe Chamati, who is the warehouse manager now at Coast Constellation, and he was mentioning that you're like the main manager that I deal with because most of the artists are without management because, yes, as you pointed out, the experimental scene has smaller profit margins, and so there's not many people offering that kind of service in that for those that community.
When they really need it, but yeah, it's a real issue, and I'm trying to work on that also at the sector level and see how we can. We're a few people, so at least we should at least work together and just create a network and maybe also make this situation known and try to change the support system for artists of that are not commercial, non-commercial artists, basically.
Absolutely. And so you used to work at Swoney. So do you have any memories from Swoney? Can you share anything about past highlights that you've experienced?
That's a hard question. I have so many memories. I think I did four Swannies, including one that I just arrived from France. Like I was 2 weeks in Montreal and just started with Swanee. It was great. I made a lot of friends, including you, I think, that first Swanee. I have many memories of people. And it's and being tired. Maybe my main memory is that I was exhausted. But beyond that, just a gathering of people that are incredibly creative and nice, and it's a great community. So I have memories of being on the Casa patio after shows, or like looking around at Sala and seeing so many good people in attendance and on the stage. I also have one memory that I have that was. That's a memory that I really love, is being at Casa for improv free show and seeing on the first row somebody really like, how do you call that, headbang. And he was part of a touring band from a punk show at La Vitrola. And he was just having food at Casa before his show, and he just like he knew it was a festival, and so he just like came to Casa and just loved the music, and then went back to Vitrola and played his punk show, and that was really such a great memory of what Swanee can do. Yeah, I mean, of course, there's a lot of similarity between noise and punk and improv and free, but still, it was a pretty special moment. So yeah. Just moments shared with also so much good music. It's my main memory of Sony.
Yeah, there's so much. And you're coming this year. You haven't been to Montreal in a little bit, so you're coming to the festival this year. Is there anything, obviously there's a bunch of Vancouver people coming down, but is there anything that now that we've sort of started spreading more of the programming, is there any shows, any other artists you're interested in exploring or hoping to catch while you're in town?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's going to be one band that I'm used to work with who's playing, I think, on June, is it the 15th? Yeah. Sick Boss from Montreal, from Vancouver, sorry. So that's going to be fun, even though I could see them in Vancouver, but it's going to be nice to see them at Sphony again.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure about the dates, but I saw on the poster today actually a few artists that are pretty exciting. I saw that Leanne Betasamoke Simpson is coming back. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be there, but that's something I'm looking forward to. And I'm also just looking forward to go to a show that I know nothing of, which will happen, and probably I'm going to love it. So that's what I like at Swanee. When I applied to become an intern, I was in France and just discovering something new in terms of music, and I looked at the programming of the festival that I would intern at, and I knew maybe five artists. And I was like, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. So this is why I'm doing it again.
The sense of discovery, I think, is something that's really special about Swoonie. Like a lot of everyone I talk to, you know, talks about how they get the Swoonie program and they maybe know, yeah, as you said, like five artists on out of like 100, and but you also know that the artists that you don't know are gonna like blow your mind and be really, really excellent.
Definitely. And also it's interesting sometimes to see that artists that you've seen at Swoonie first, then you see them everywhere. And I think that's really one of the strengths of Swoonie as well. It there's a lot of artists that have helped programmed or like workshops, and then they started touring everywhere in North America or in Europe. So that's also what Swoonie is. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for talking to me, Emily. And I look forward to grabbing a beer when you're in town.
Definitely. Thank you for all your work. And it's last time I was in Montreal was just the summer before the pandemic, and I had no idea I would stay away for so long. And I also had no idea there would be no in-person festival for so long. So it's very exciting that Swoonie is back. The air across my skin. Hear each note that you're playing. They say you're a ghost, but I've seen them before. Never been alive, not like this before. Say you're a ghost, but I've seen them before. Never been alive, not like this before. Thank you.
just finished playing an amazing show at the Bog underground venue. And why don't y'all introduce yourselves?
Hey, I'm Eric Asher.
I'm Kai and I play bass.
I'm Tyron and I play drums.
And how long have y'all been playing together?
We've been playing together 1 year and a couple of months maybe. We started during COVID. We shared a jam space. We decided to like start a band because there wasn't shit all happening. And a year later, here we are.
This is correct.
And but y'all play music. Y'all have played music before. This isn't
once or twice. Yeah, well, these guys also have another project, and I also have another project. My old band is called Doldrums. I don't think I ever played Sivoni, but maybe I did. Anyway, and then I also do electronic music.
What's your other... What's your project?
Tyron and I are in another project called Tinker Toy Farm Machine, and that's our other project name.
Yeah. Yes. We played Sony. We did the live stream with Kaina's project during the pandemic. I think it was like the first summer of the pandemic. And that was cool. It was great, yeah.
And you're playing on June 10th? Are you excited for that show? June 7th. Ooh. I booked the show. I should know. But
I'm super excited. Like, I've gone to every Sivoni like that I've been able to go to for like 10 years, but I somehow never played it. So, yeah, I'm really ready. And also we're playing with some great artists like New Chance, who's from Toronto and who makes great kind of techno with singing. And who else are we playing with? Solomon, Mathieu, yeah, who's really talented, so it's going to be sick. And dear listener, please come.
And have you ever, I mean, you mentioned that you've been to a Sivoni, you mentioned that you played a Sivoni live stream, that's not really the same. They're going to start this loud motorbike right beside us.
Oh, hell yeah. Ivan, give it!
Ivan, come on, start the motorbike!
Give it your all, man!
It has to concentrate!
This is my friend just kick-starting his bike.
This bike's older than all of us.
That is a 1961 Harley Davidson! Is it?
It is.
Is it a 61?
Yeah, how'd you know?
I know my bikes.
Okay, well, maybe before the bike gets kick-started, quickly, memories of Sivoni's past.
Backwash? Like, I feel like Sivoni... Yes! Yes! I want to say that I saw Bruce Mary at Sivoni? Was that Sivoni, though? Bruce Mary? Could have been. Yeah. Like, did Grouper play a Sivoni? I saw Grouper at Sala anyway, and it was fire.
My memory of Sivoni is the staff, Stacy especially. The vibes are immaculate, and the staff really is the essence of Sivoni. It's undeniable.
My best memory is James going hard. That's Sivoni. And running the show.
What about the time we played Sivoni and I had to carry you home?
We don't talk about that. Wow. Wow. We don't talk about that.
But
that was a spark of a beautiful friendship. Let me tell you.
And you also help out in the print shop and are making some posters this year.
I'm helping Kiva. Do that with posters, yes.
All right, thanks, y'all. The motorbike, I think, has ended the interview.
Thanks, James.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Second Sight. That's my artist name, but I'm also known as Hachi.
And what do you do?
A multitude of things. I would say I'm mainly creating within music, wellness, and fashion. But it kind of expands into other territory at times, so like video art, installations and stuff like that.
Cool. And you're playing Swanee this year.
Yes, I'm so excited. It's going to be my first time in person, because last time it was like all virtual at the beginning of COVID. So I'm so excited.
And what should people expect from your show, or what can they look forward to?
I would say a meditative experience. So I find my art practice tends to kind of sneak into like psychedelia, but from a meditative, transcendental perspective. So you're going like into trance, but very softly and gently.
Yeah, do you find, like you mentioned that you do some healing work and like, how do you find sound relates to that?
It's central to my healing practice, and in fact that's why music was, I would say, the first art form that I really felt connected to, and still to this day, because there's something very therapeutic for me, the sensation of sound like in my body when I'm singing, but also when I'm like receiving ideas of songs. There's just this kind of spiritual or healing element that feels like it's something beyond me, kind of gifting me with these glimpses of things that don't exist yet, and then it's kind of my job to translate it into, mostly I would say sound is the first means through which and yeah, my art kind of comes through. And it's very healing as it's coming through, because it's like this process. I have to become like a listener, right? So I have to quiet down like my mind to such a level where I can kind of receive the inspiration.
And did you, like, you're a singer, and did you, like, what came first? Did you find that sound was healing to you initially, and then you developed a practice around that? Or did you sort of grow into finding that pathway into sound?
I guess initially I didn't have the words for it until, like, I became an adult. But when I was much younger, there was just a sense of well-being associated with sound. I loved how it could shift my moods or shift the energy of a space. So I guess it kind of was a spontaneous revelation. So as I was discovering music and sound, it was also like self-evident that it was healing in some way to me.
And do you find, are there other artists that you find also create like healing vibes through their, when you interact with their music or their sound art?
I think on some level, every artist is doing that, but in their unique way. So like every artist is tapping into something that we can't explain. So on some level, everybody's art affects me in that way. If I'm able to kind of listen that mindfully, I'm able to kind of glimpse that same level of intimacy or otherworldliness, no matter the genre of music.
And I also, when I've seen you perform, you always have elaborate costumes,
yes.
And you mentioned like fashion as part of your creative practice. How do you link music and fashion?
I find the garments I'm wearing are kind of an extension of my energy. So it's saying, it's communicating who I am without necessarily then having to use sound. Because for a long time, even though I am making music, in my day-to-day life, I didn't necessarily feel like I had a voice. So that is why music is healing to me, because it's like my outlet. But so when I didn't feel like I had a voice to maybe express myself within like relationships or the world at large, fashion was that way that I felt as though I could kind of still share who I was without needing to speak. So all the many years, you know, when one is in, I don't know, elementary school and you're bullied and you can't like connect with anyone, I still had like my look. So like I could still put on an outfit and feel like I was interacting with the environment or like saying something without having to kind of use sound. So it's an extension of my aura or my energy in at any particular moment.
It's interesting that you mentioned elementary school, because I did some elementary school in Australia. And there all schools have uniforms. And I remember getting into a debate with somebody, because coming from Canada, I was like, oh, I found the fact of having to wear exactly the same thing every day, the same as everyone else, limiting.
In some way, yeah. And there were periods of time where I was in, like in high school, where there was a uniform, but for some reason I would always find a way to kind of add some element of something to kind of style it in a way that still was expressing. Yeah, it's just this kind of quest for expression, so that I can keep then receiving new ideas. I kind of have to like release some. So like I'm always finding a way to release so that I can kind of open myself up to more.
And have you been to Swanee before?
Yes, I have. My first time was a few years ago, and it was an Omar Suleiman concert. And I remember it was unplanned that I was supposed to go to the show, just kind of wandering in the plateau. And then I saw like a lineup, and I looked at the poster, and I was like, yeah, like, why not? And I remember it being just like, it was a religious experience without it belonging to like any particular religion. But when I say religious, I mean it was like so sacred, the way what they were connecting to and how the crowd was receiving it. It was just a wild show. I think that still to this day was one of the wildest concerts I've been to. Like, people were losing their mind to, like, the rhythms, and it was just fantastic. It was one of the best shows I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm. And you spent time in Vancouver, yeah, and now you're back in Montreal, but you're originally from Montreal.
Yeah.
And are you enjoying your time being back here?
Yeah, it's very grounding being back here because everything is so familiar. Even though Montreal is changing a lot, like, I spent so much of my life here that coming back from out west, I was in Vancouver, but I was also in Edmonton. So being back, like, here, it was just nice to kind of be somewhere that felt a bit more multicultural and a bit more just like home. So I didn't have to like think too hard about like learning new things. I could just be, and that's what like, I really love about Montreal. I can just kind of be, and that's kind of the phase I'm in my life right now, where I just want to like just be.
Yeah, it's very interesting out west because it is multicultural out there too.
Yeah,
but
in a different way.
In a different way, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's definitely like less black people.
For sure. And one doesn't realize it. Like, I was telling my mom this today, how like certain things I was facing in retrospect were racist, but I didn't view it as that at the time. I would just thought, oh, I'm different, and like, I mean, I was trying, I guess, to be gentle with some of what of the words I was hearing towards me, but like, in retrospect, it was just completely like racist. And I mean, not everybody there, because I met lots of people whom I still very much love, but there's a nice difference being in Montreal, where I don't necessarily face those same like obstacles, at least not up in my face, in the same way like I was when I was in Alberta. I guess it's a bit more subtle in a place like Quebec, yeah. Or I'm just more at ease, so I don't necessarily encounter it as often.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how, I mean, I've lived in a bunch of different parts of Canada, and it's like, they're all racist, a little bit. That's the truth. But, yeah, there's definitely different flavors.
Of it, yeah.
And you can get used to one kind.
That's a good way of putting it. I guess I'm used to Montreal, so it doesn't like disturb my peace in the same way like some of the disturbances I was feeling like being out west. But then again, hey, everybody's doing their best, so that's okay too.
Totally. And what do you think you're gonna play at Swanee?
I'm still a bit on the fence, but more and more every day leaning towards playing. I've kind of been exploring this DJ set where I'm playing ambient soundscapes and kind of altering the sound. So it's not my songs, but it's me, because I'm kind of adding layers on it and like turning it into this something of a sound bath where it feels like you're immersed in sound. And I guess what I'm trying to create is like a meditative space. So for people who maybe don't meditate and are curious about how it feels, so I'm trying to create like a meditative space, and within that I'm singing improvisations. So like, instead of using words, any thought that comes to mind, I'm attempting to then sing it as sound, just like pure sounds and melodies. Yeah.
So more like vocalizations.
Vocalizations, but improvised. Yeah, as a way of like, the sound is happening and it's other people's music, but I kind of tweak it in a way where then I connect to it. And then within that now, the way it's moving me, I'm then singing responses to it, or attempting to harmonize and adapt to this meditative space I've created. Mm-hmm.
And because I know you've done different stuff in the past, like you play harmonium.
I play harmonium, I play keys. So I grew up playing classical piano, and So then it got kind of translated into harmonium when I got into yoga and stuff. So then eventually into synths, and also play electric bass. But yeah, my true love is singing. And again, because like I said to you, like there were moments when I felt like I didn't have a voice, which is ironic because, as we were saying, like for me, my voice is the most healing thing to me. So feeling like I didn't have an outlet for it, I guess now I'm just like, I just want to sing, so and not have to worry about inventing a music, but rather treating it as though, okay, here I am in this environment, and how can I still find bliss within it? So that's kind of what those DJ sets represent to me. It's like being in the world and like making the most of it all, like finding a way to still find happiness and peace with a place you didn't create.
Did it take you a long time to get to that point? Like, did you go through a lot of iterations in your artistic journey?
I did. And I guess it was also mostly because I also write songs, and that's another piece that I like very much. But then I started exploring meditation music, and I was composing music for like some of the guided meditations I do. And then I was like, hey, what if, like, I love ambient music, and there was nowhere I could go to hear it. So I'm like, what if I just like piece together these songs that I use for myself to put me at ease, piece them together. And then I started just kind of listening to these playlists I would make of like sequenced ambient songs, and I naturally found myself kind of just singing. And I'm like, oh, that's that freedom of like not having to kind of invent a concrete song, but just kind of responding to sound in the moment, the way it's healing me or the way I'm processing my feelings. So just kind of vocalize it and then let it go. So it's a kind of like fluidity.
And do you listen to Alice Coltrane?
I do. Oh, she's like, she's everything to me. The ultimate like expression of what one could become as an artist.
Yeah. You know, her work is very beautiful. And also she had a practice that was very deeply tied to meditation and yoga.
Funny you say that, because when I discovered her music, it was like a bit of a revelation of like, wow, you could kind of merge your spirituality with sound, you know, like it. And still, like, even though like I'm very familiar with her catalog, every time I hear her or watch her, it's like the first time again of like, wow, how did she just like manage to be a manifestation of whatever she ended up becoming? Like, it's still, it's just.
And even later in her life, she chose to like leave.
Yeah, completely.
Leave the world, like the commercial world behind, and just practice in the spiritual space.
And it's like she gave me permission to allow myself to treat my meditation practice as priority. As opposed to before, it was like, okay, you gotta like hustle and do all these other things. But she gave me permission, I think, to say, okay, like, yeah, I'm doing all these other things that I love, like fashion and music, but ultimately, like, it comes down to me and my connection to this kind of idea of divinity that is inside of me, but is also like everywhere. So I owe her everything, I would say. Like,
yeah, and I mean, it's interesting too, because her husband John Coltrane also brought spirituality very deeply into his music, but in a very different way.
Yes. And it's like how we were saying before, like every artist in their own way, whether it's more overt like the Coltranes, but I feel like every artist on some level is tapping into like the mysteries of life and just managing to translate it, even though you might be speaking about relationships in a song or like things you're going through. On some level, it's like a very deep insight that you're tapping into that you're then attempting to kind of translate through your art practice, I think.
Yeah, I was reading a book recently about it's a sort of history of drone music.
Okay.
And so it but what I found fascinating about it is it talks about how there's like caves on the island of Malta, I think, that have been there for tens of thousands of years, and then they got converted into, they don't even remember what religion it was for, but they were converted into these spaces, and the resonant chamber, like these caves were sort of, had this resonant frequency, and they were like, these people like tens of thousands of years ago were in these caves making sound.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And connecting to it and having spiritual experiences to sound, just vocalizing in these
based
caves.
Based on, yeah, a cave, you know, the reverberations of a cave. I find that just so fascinating. That's what I mean, like, it's a very spiritual thing for me, sound.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned Omar Suleiman,
yeah.
And that's your favorite Swoney experience?
That's not just Swoney, it is, but just I mean of all time, like shows that I've been to in person, like it was wild. Like there was a visceral, very tangible energy, like in that it was at Sala, I believe. Like mm-hmm. It was just incredible to witness like the power of sound and music and like the shared experience of it, how we could all like trip in a very natural way off of just like, you know, good energy. It was amazing.
Have you been to any other Swoney shows?
Or
are there any Swoney shows coming up? I don't know if you've seen the lineup you're excited for.
I'm very excited for Angel Bhatt. I cannot wait. I've been listening to her
opening night, June 3rd.
I've been listening to her albums. Like over the pandemic, I discovered her music. So I couldn't believe that she'll be here this year. So definitely, like, that's going to be the first show I'll check out in the festival. Yeah,
and she's doing a workshop
as
well.
Yes, I'm signing up to it. I didn't even read the description, but I saw like that there's a second piece, and I'm like, I'm there. Yeah.
No, she's definitely a super special artist.
Yeah,
I'm very excited. That was one of the shows, because she was originally booked to come in 2020.
Okay.
IRL, but then obviously pandemic happened, and so then she was one of the first artists we reached out to, like.
To come back.
Yeah, we were like, we were talking about this. Do you want to come now?
Amazing, and I mean last year's edition had the Sun Ra Orchestra, and I remember I watched it online, but when I thought that they might physically be in Montreal, it's literally like
we're still working
like,
on that.
That's a life goal of mine, to just be in the presence of like that kind of genius.
Because the regulations and stuff were changing so much, we couldn't figure it out for this year, but it's hopefully gonna happen next year.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share?
No, that was lovely. I think like I'm quite content with what we explored. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to performing on a stage again. I love Sala, like the sound system I find is one of my favorite in the city for like
And you played there before opening for Big Brave.
Yes, again pre-pandemic, like right before we entered the pandemic, and yeah, I just really love the sound system there, so I'm very much looking forward to being in person and there again. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, James.
And I Suoni Perilpopolo is back, and in real life for its 22nd edition. All the sights, sounds, and sensations of live music. After 2 years of online adaptation, Suoni is filling up the month of June with liberated music of all genres. Over 45 events and 90 participating artists performing indoors, outdoors, streamed for maximum accessibility. Record and book launches, workshops, a puppet show, a satellite Suoni happening in Wakefield, Quebec, of all places, and, of course, much more. For all the goodies, check out suoniperilpopolo.org. Masks will, of course, be required. For your audio program guide, tune in to the Montreal Sessions, Tuesday, May 24th, May 31st, and June 7th and 14th, from 3 till 5 p.m., The Suoni crew hosts will be serving up highlights of what to expect at this year's festival. This is, of course, a CKUT co-presentation.
can I play you some of the new things I've been doing, which I think could be commercial?
Hey, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is All Things McGill.
La lune était en capricorne et le ciel était noir cancer. On a attendu qu'il s'endorme pour partir rejoindre la mer. On a pris l'urne par les cornes et sans regarder en arrière, j'ai posé dans la salicorne les cendres de mon père. J'aurais jamais dû partir, j'aurais dû te retenir, Maya.